Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a piece of advice that I think we've all gotten at one time or the other. It's a very simple phrase that we've heard when we were very young, and it was, mind your own business. Or is that just something we New Yorkers say? Actually, in New York, it's mind your business. And I remember as a child hearing that more than once, and I remember giving that advice, especially when I was teaching and somebody wanted to tell on someone, and I'd say, mind your business. It's a good piece of advice. It says, don't be a busybody. But it can be taken a little too far. Mind your own business. We're very good at that, minding our own business. We don't want to get involved when it's none of our business. And the people in the story today took that literally. You remember the story, it's a very famous one that Jesus spoke about. It's one that we hear a lot, the Good Samaritan. Even people who don't know the faith know about the Good Samaritan. You see it on hospitals. There are hospitals called Good Samaritan hospitals. So this story is about a man who was not a Samaritan. He was a Jew, and he was on a road traveling, and he was accosted by robbers, and he was beaten up and left for dead. And a priest come by. Priest is a good person, and he minded his own business. He saw the man on the side of the road, but I'm sure he had a lot to do with his own synagogue. There might have been people, maybe he was even going to a sick call, and he had to get there quickly. So he minded his own business. This was somebody else's business. And he went on the way. The Levite came along, another good, holy person. It's kind of like a modern-day sacristan. Maybe he had to set up the synagogue for that day. And so he minded his own business. And he went along the way. And then there was a man who should have been minding his own business. He was a Samaritan. Now you have to understand something. We have sanitized the Samaritan that nobody really recognizes him anymore. The Jews and the Samaritans couldn't stand each other. If one said up, the other said down. The Jews had a certain prescribed way of worshiping God. The Samaritans had a different way. And when they'd get together about this, it wasn't dialogue. They didn't have interfaith dialogues. They beat up on each other. You remember the story, was it last week or a few weeks ago, where Samaritans wouldn't even entertain Jesus, would not provide hospitality because he was going to Jerusalem. And there was a dispute about that. So this Samaritan should have been minding his own business. And if he was minding his own business, he would have looked, saw a Jew laying there, and said, not going to do it. But fortunately, he was not minding his own business. He minded the business of that man laying on the ground. And Jesus said he picked him up. He not only cleaned him up, but he took him to a hotel. He paid for his care. And then Jesus asked, who was the neighbor? And the lawyer said, well, the man who showed pity. And he didn't say, that's the philosophy you need to have. He said, go and do likewise. If we're to be called by the name of Christ, we need to mind somebody else's business. Not to be busybodies, but to take care of the one in need. Whether that person is from our church, whether that person is from our community, whether that person knows the kind of faith we know or not, we are to mind somebody else's business. I heard a story that brought this home to me. This is from a man named Brian McLaren. He was a pastor in Maryland. And at 9/11, when the towers fell and the Pentagon was attacked, his church, like many others around, had prayer services afterwards. And as they were gathering with prayer with his little church, he said there was some message that came across in prayer. He said it was like God pressing on his heart and saying, "Your Muslim neighbors are in danger." And so right after the prayer service, he hastily constructed a letter. There were three mosques right around his area. Now, he had never met the leaders of this mosque. He did not know any parishioners in the mosque, but he wrote a letter, and he was deciding he was going to go to each mosque and present this letter to their imams. Well, he gets the letter ready, and he goes to the first mosque, and it is locked up tight. So he leaves the letter in the mailbox. He goes to the second one, finds the same thing. At the third mosque, the gates are open only because there's a news truck sitting there. A woman from that congregation who had been in her burqa was walking along the street, minding her own business, and some man came along and knocked her to the ground and said, "You people must have been happy about what happened." And so the news media was there at the mosque to get some, to talk to the imam about it. And as the TV truck is going out, the gate started to close. So what did Mr. McLaren do? He gunned his engine to go in to this area. And so this poor imam is standing there seeing this car racing into him. And so he puts up his hands to stop him. So McLaren slams on the brakes and then jumps out of the car. Now, Mr. McLaren is over 6 foot tall, and the imam is probably a little taller than me. And this man is terrified. So McLaren jumps out of his car, and he apologizes for the scare, and he apologizes for not ever meeting him before. And he said, I just wanted you to have this, and he hands him the letter. And the letter was giving him some support and saying that this congregation would help them in any way possible. So the man's reading the letter and looking up at this tall white man and looking down and looking up, and then he throws his arms around him and hugs his head to his chest. And he said, "You are the first person who came to me." After that, the ladies of his church volunteered to escort any woman from the mosque who needed to walk in safety down the city streets. They became wonderful friends. And he even got to see an imam's study. He said, "It's just like a pastor's study, only neater, and the books are in Arabic instead of English." And, of course, the congregations got together. And what do congregations do who don't know each other? They had potlucks. And they had a wonderful friendship. I don't think anyone was converted to Islam, and perhaps no one was converted to Christianity. But they took care of each other. Go and do likewise. We have got to be minding others' business. And now closer to home, story that we can possibly jump into. I was listening to a woman who's from this area, and she has a ministry in the wintertime. She said that her group was very generous, and when Christmas time would come, they would get together baskets of food, and they'd bring it to Hispanic families because they knew that a lot of our Hispanic neighbors are underemployed and needed help. And she thought to herself, you know, we're doing this, and it's a wonderful thing, but what about the everyday lives of these folks? Can't we do something more? So the something more, she said, why don't we help them with their English lessons so that they can get better jobs and produce more for their families? Now, the ironic thing was, she does not know Spanish. She thought, well, how can I do this? She thought, I can't give them lessons. So she created something called Conversation Partners, where you partner one-on-one with someone, you have a book, or just talk with them conversationally and try to help them to get better acquainted with the American language. She got some help doing this, and they started this one-on-one conversation. And she told the story of one lady who knew very little English, and she was paired with someone. This woman was not only underemployed, she was paid about $3.50 below minimum wage. But because she didn't know the language, she couldn't assert herself. She started to learn English, and she quit that job and got one paying well over the minimum wage. And she takes care of her family now, and they can eat, and they can do the things that we take for granted. Somebody was minding a neighbor's business. And that ministry is going on here. And if you're here over the winter and would like to be a conversation partner, even if you know minimal Spanish, you can join. You just let me know. We are tasked to mind each other's business. If you know somebody who's hurting, don't mind your own business. Go to them. I challenge the congregation this week to find someone and mind their business. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you did not put us here in cocoons just to look after our own selves, but you've put us here to mind others' business, which in turn minds your business. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge, and we ask that you would put people in our paths that need to know you, that need to know your grace, that need to be lifted up. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and turn with me to our closing hymn, number 646, Lord, speak to me that I may speak.